Thank you for joining us today for Women Accessing Capital Training 150, Increase Your Financial Health, the 5 Steps to Grow Your Money. I am Anna-Kate Calais, Program Specialist at Women Impacting Public Policy. Women Accessing Capital was launched to help secure money needed to grow your business and designed to break down barriers between women and money. Before we begin, I have just a few notes. The lines have been muted so only presenters can be heard. Please put your phone on mute during the presentation. Do not put your phone on hold. If you have to step away, please hang up and call back. If you are having trouble viewing the presentation, close out and reopen using a different browser. If your slides are not advancing, please refresh or log out and log back in. If you have any questions, please enter them into the discussion function at the bottom left-hand side of your screen. And now onto the program. Today's training session will feature the 5 steps every woman must take to embrace their own financial destiny. I am pleased to introduce today's course instructor, Camille Gaines. Camille has a background in energy trading, accounting, corporate financial training, and success in commercial real estate. Broker laid the foundation for Camille's passion as a personal investor. She has been featured as a financial expert in the eWomen Network Success Institute and blog, Nationwide Magazine, and numerous other media outlets. Her award-winning blog, Financial Woman Radio Show, allows her to share practical information in a simple and common language to which you can easily relate and understand. Camille, the floor is yours.
Hi. Thank you so much, Anna-Kate, for inviting me to speak today. I'm delighted to speak to this group of women, and I'd like to start out by just letting you all know the things that we'll be covering in the call today. I know that everyone is so concerned right now about their finances. It's just such a huge part of our lives, yet we're all so busy with the things that we have to deal with on a daily basis that a lot of the times it's just hard for us to fit in time to really pay attention to our money. But by paying attention to our money, then we can invite our money to grow and make a difference. And so the things that we will be talking about today are the 5 key steps that you must take so you can create a rich life, and that's a rich life that you love. It's not just about money. We'll talk about the very first step to start growing your money. We'll talk about why you may be sabotaging your own financial health so that you can stop doing that and make positive changes. We'll talk about simple systems you can easily create that will invite wealth. And we'll talk about the quickest way to get on track to reach your financial goals. We'll also talk about the most common mistake investors make with their money so that you can avoid it. So those are some areas that we'll be covering. There are 5 major steps in the Financial Woman program to make a rich life, and we'll be highlighting each of these today. The first one is simply to develop a healthy money mindset. The second is to know where you are. The third is create positive cash flow. The fourth is to grow your money. And the fifth is to be aware of trends. So now let's focus on the first step of developing a healthy money mindset. And I just first want to say, before we go through all those 5 steps, you might already be thinking, wow, this sounds like a lot. But what I want you to do is think about the very next step for you to take to have the life that you really want and where you need to focus next on creating your own financial destiny. I'm so thrilled to be speaking with you all today because you're women that have created your own companies. You're proactive in creating your own financial destiny, and that's huge. And I understand because I have my own company, and so I'm just honored to be here. And I know that we have that common goal. But what I want you to think about are the totality of your financial picture. You know, where is it that you need to focus right now? Of course, you're running your company and you're focused on creating cash flow in your company, but look at the larger picture for your own cash flow and your overall you as a person. So where do you need to focus? Is it on creating more income? Is it on better tracking your spending? Or is it maybe just learning some simple basics so you can start growing growing the money that you have put aside to invest. So something on today's call will probably resonate with you, and you'll say, ha, that's it. That's where I'm going to focus next. So think in terms of the next step as we go through the call today. Anything that resonates with you, make a note, and commit to just putting some time and energy into that one next step instead of thinking of all the steps that are involved in this. And because simple steps in all areas of our life lead to the changes that we want. And then when you have success in one area, you feel great about moving on to the next step of growing your money because you've had success and you're starting to feel it and see a difference in your life. Now, I do want to mention, in case anyone has to leave the webinar early, if you need some support, some encouragement, some gentle reminders, be sure to sign up for my weekly newsletter with money tips and videos at Nest Egg News newsletter over at financialwoman.com. And with that in mind, I'll go ahead and let's talk about developing a healthy money mindset, because if we don't do that first, then no matter what we do, we'll sabotage ourselves. So we have to think in a healthy way, a good way about our money. Fewer than 2 in 10 women feel very prepared to make financial decisions, according to a 2011 study by Charles Schwab. Studies have also shown that over 90% of women will be in charge of their own personal finances at some time during their life. So those are huge numbers. So even if we do have someone else taking care of our money right now or handling our personal finances, which I know all of you are savvy business owners and you've got this piece, but the big picture of your personal finances, there is a 90% chance that at some time you will personally be handling that alone. And then a 2011 study that was done by Catalyst Group found that almost 1 in 3 women endure sleepless nights because of financial woes. And I think I thought that was a bit low based on what's happened in the financial markets over the last 12 years. So 1 in 3. So are you having sleepless nights thinking about your money and worried about your money? Now, a Forbes article stated that the 5 most expensive mistakes women make with their money are being emotional about their money, they're losing track of spending, they're not being money-oriented, they're disregarding the wage gap, or they're believing that a man is a plan. And so those were the 5 most expensive mistakes that women make with money. Do any of those mistakes resonate or ring a bell with you? Now, the great news is that these mistakes can all be easily resolved by putting some simple systems in place to monitor and grow your money. And I want to talk a little bit more about the whole mindset piece, and that starts with defining your money reasons. Why does money matter to you? What's financial freedom to you? Is that what you want? Is it financial freedom? And what is that like to you? Is it being able to live off of your investments? Is it being able to fully fund your business so that you know that you can develop a company that's based on your passions and your true abilities and your expertise? Is it having a vacation home, or maybe being able to travel abroad? Is it college funding for kids or maybe grandkids? Is it having a fabulous first or a second home? Everyone has different money reasons. Maybe it's about charitable giving. It has nothing to do with belongings or your company. Maybe it's about being able to give and make a difference in the world. Maybe you want to build that nest egg so you don't have to worry about money. So with your money reasons, make sure that you think about what those things are that are really important to you. I like to encourage women to use a wealth journal and spend some time. Just, this is such an important area, but often we don't stop and think about what is the ultimate outcome I want. Why am I working so hard every day? I know if you have your own company, you're probably working pretty hard. So why am I doing this? What's the outcome? I'm going to guess that a lot of that has to do with a change you want to make in the world. But aside from that, with your personal finances, what is it that you want? And then assign those things that we just went through. What resonated with you? So choose the things that are important. Write them out to you. Assign time and dollar amounts to those things that matter to you, and create some goals around that so that they're specific and so that you can work toward those goals. And then I want you to think about living congruently toward creating those goals or reaching those goals. And what I mean by that, let me give you an example, is when you've identified what's important to you in your life and why money matters to you, then when you pass, for me, I love black boots. So when I pass those black boots on sale, if I know I really don't need another pair of black boots, or gosh, these are a little different, they have a buckle, or whatever it is, if I know that month I'm putting aside money instead for this specific financial goal in the future, I can live congruently. I don't have to agonize over everything that I see that I want. Maybe that's on sale, so often we get pulled into that. I'm living congruently. I'm living my life every day. My spending and my earning patterns and habits are supporting those things that I've decided that are important to me in my life. And what a peaceful place to be when we live congruently and we don't have to agonize and stop and think about and overanalyze every purchasing decision. We're living with a plan in mind, a specific outcome that we want in mind. And that is just a really peaceful place to be. And that is a huge part of having a rich life. So it's not just about making the money. It's about living in harmony with those ultimate money goals and why you want money. Now, the next area I want to talk about is what were your childhood beliefs, what in your home growing up about money? Because there is a very, very good chance that whatever those childhood beliefs were, they are affecting what you're doing with your money now, either in your earning or your spending, or maybe both areas. So you might frequently ask yourself, why did I do that? I knew that I wanted to put this money aside for this, or I knew that I should have charged this for this particular service that I was providing in my company. Well, what went on in your childhood, spoken or unspoken, that might be affecting the way that you're living your life now that's getting in the way of you reaching your money goals and be able to get those things that are so important to you in your life that you want to create? And so look at your childhood beliefs. Look, and it's something that you're probably going to have to spend a little time and dig around and really examine this during some quiet time. And what are those money habits that you are carrying out or that you're living with that you know are not supporting what you really want to accomplish with your money? And there's a good chance the two go hand in hand. So grab that wealth journal, find half an hour of quiet time, which is not always easy. But think about this and write out those things that you're doing that are sabotaging what you want to create with your money, and see if you can find a link there and identify your own beliefs. You don't need to live somebody else's beliefs about money. Create your own beliefs about money and see if those can't make a difference in your money habits and how you create the life that you want that's going to reach your financial goals. Now, the other thing with regard, and here we go, whose beliefs are you carrying out? Are they ancestors' beliefs, or are they beliefs that you believe, that you know that you want? And before we leave step one about developing a healthy money mindset, think about just keep in front of you on a daily basis those money reasons. What are they? You know, right? Maybe create a vision board and keep those in front of you. Review them each day so that you can live a life that's taking you toward those things that you really, really want in your life. Now, step two is about knowing where you are. So it's easy to focus on making money. It's easy to avoid knowing exactly where we are, though, with our money, as crazy as that sounds. Now, there are two simple systems that we'll talk about, and the first of which is knowing where you are, and it's simply creating a net worth. I like to call it your own and owe statement. You write out everything that you own, and you write out everything that you owe. And the difference in the two numbers is your net worth, your financial net worth. And so even if someone else is preparing this statement for you, get in the trenches with your own numbers. There's something about really getting involved with those numbers, knowing what those numbers are, and the more you get involved with them, the more comfortable you are with them, and the more you feel that it's your own responsibility to create your own financial journey. And when I say someone else might be doing it, maybe that's a financial advisor, a financial planner. It could be another family member, or maybe you're handling it everything yourself, and that's wonderful, and you're already doing all this, and that is great. So the areas of knowing where you are about that own and owe statement that I referred to. And another thing is when you create the own and owe statement and you look at that bottom line number, own complete responsibility for where you are right now. It's easy to avoid in our lives complete responsibility for any area. So own where you are right now and know that the sum of your choices has gotten you where you are. And yes, we've had an incredible struggle financially in our country, globally, with what has happened in the financial markets, is in employment, and there's so many situations that have happened over the last 10 years, especially the past 5 years, that have made it difficult. But own where you are right now, and that your choices somehow put you in the situation that you're in, and then you own responsibility, and you can move forward to create what it is that you want once you own your current situation. And take a look at the next step under knowing where you are is take a look at those numbers and those assets on your financial net worth statement, or your own and owe statement, as I like to call it, and see if the future value of those numbers, which we don't have time to go into today on this call, but there are a lot of calculators online, see if the future value of those numbers are going to put you where you want those numbers that you assigned to your money reasons in the first step that we looked at, when you figured out what it was you want and how much that cost, and ask yourself the question, am I on track right now to get what I want, to reach those things that really matter to me? Now, another Charles Schwab retirement study done in 2011, just in December, so very recent, showed that barriers to developing a financial plan include lack of time, the pull to meet shorter-term financial obligations, so it's always that, you know, crisis of putting out the fire. And for that reason, I suggest always having a contingency fund that we can pull from for those emergencies. The third reason or barrier to developing a financial plan is lack of knowledge. Doesn't take that long to learn what you need to learn to create a financial plan. And also just an unmet desire for assistance and help. What is it that holds us back? Is it because we feel ashamed about where we are? Is it because we feel that we shouldn't talk about our money no matter what? And I think that's an old stigma that we have to leave behind. So do you have a barrier in helping you create your financial plan? And remember that knowledge equals power. The more we know about something, the more powerful we are to make changes. And so think about the other areas in your life where you know you go ahead and you make sure that you know what you need to know, whether it's your business or your family or any area. And then you move forward. So are you doing the same thing with your personal finances? So invest in you. Give your money the time and attention that it deserves so you can have financial security. So that's an investment in you. Now, step three toward creating a rich life is creating positive cash flow in your life. And I'm sure you have right in your plate on a regular basis creating that positive cash flow in your business. So you already know that money flowing in, less the money flowing out, that's your cash flow. Cash flow bliss is created with your personal finances when you track your cash flow each month. So tracking that cash flow each month, and that happens by setting aside a time that you are going to look at your cash flow. I like to suggest that you set aside in your planner. Go ahead and schedule the first Saturday or the first Monday evening of the month, or maybe the second when you have all your financial numbers from the previous month. Go ahead and schedule time, just an hour once you get it set up, if even that, to pull together your numbers from the previous month and see if you had positive or negative cash flow from the prior month. Now, we all know that if that number is negative and that we did not have that positive cash flow that we wanted, then we need to look at either increasing our income, reducing our spending, or we can do both, which really catapults us ahead when we're able to combine that increased income with reduced spending. Now, a lot of this, I want to mention, ties back to those money reasons that we looked at in the very first step. So it's not just about the money. It's about how can we live in a way that supports those financial goals that we want. But also when we look at increasing our income, then are we living a life that we like? Do we like what we do every single day? How many people hate their jobs? And I'm guessing since you have your own businesses, you've gotten this. You said, I want to create my own business. I know what I'm good at. I know what I care about. But a lot of people aren't doing this yet in their lives. And so that ties back to those money reasons, because maybe a money reason is I want to have my own business. I want to have the freedom to run my own company and make my own decisions, impact the world in a way that I want to impact the world. So this all ties together. It's not just about your money or your finances. It's about your life, and I like to say it's a rich life, because it's one that you're loving. And then the other area is reduced spending. I don't like the word budget. I like to think of reduced spending as more conscious spending, of spending in a way that supports what's important to us in our lives. I think that there's been a focus over the last 10, 20 years really over too much stuff. And so I think once we slow down and really focus on where is our money going and are we spending consciously, we can make a huge difference in our cash flow. And I like to think of it as I have a certain amount of money every single month, and I get to choose how I'm going to spend that money instead of, oh, my gosh, I've got to do a budget. I didn't meet my budget. It feels negative to me, whereas thinking about focusing on how much money you have to spend, it has a feeling of abundance and gratitude to it, which I think helps in creating your financial plan in a way that will reach your financial goals. Now, one of the most important areas, and I think one of the just really exciting areas, is to focus on increasing your income. Let's face it, we can only cut those expenses so much, and how much fun is cutting your expenses? It's not that much fun. Let's put that out there. But how exciting is thinking of ways to increase your income? So what's going on with your business and your life? What are some areas where you can increase your income right now? Could you add another product line? Is there a way that you could pick up some more consulting clients? Is there a way with the internet that you could expand online? Maybe through teleseminars or webinars. What's available out there right now for you to focus on and think about for ways to enhance your income and increase your income so that you can improve that positive cash flow every single month? So make sure that you spend some time brainstorming that and looking at it, it's very exciting. The income piece is unlimited. The spending is very, very limited. The income piece is absolutely unlimited, and we know that by the huge number of successful people that have created their own businesses. And that is the quickest way to get on track to reach your financial goals, by creating new additional income streams. And ask yourself, as you look at this and monitor your financial, your cash flow every month, are you on track? Tie back to what it is you're trying to achieve and what time frame, and ask if you're on track to get you what you want with your money, that your money can buy. Back to those, it all goes back to those money reasons. And we've talked about looking at ways to increase your income. It's definitely has more upside. Again, it invites growth. It invites creativity into your life. It invites personal growth. And if you have your own company, you already know that. There is so much growth that takes place as a person when you create your own business. You have to let go of all your stuff that is going to get in the way of you running this company, because you suddenly realize, wow, I'm responsible for this. I'm providing this service to these people, and they're looking to me, so I've got to get my act together and provide this. So increasing income just ties so beautifully into personal growth. And let's face it, as I said, it's more fun. And so how can you add income right now? Get. I like to think about this plant growing inside this light bulb and new growth and new ways that you can increase your income, because it's really easy to get stuck with where we are right now. And start an income idea journal, and all of this again ties back to your money reasons. It increases your net worth and it improves your cash flow. And think about what you love to do as a child. What's the essence of you? And think about all the people that have done this before and all of the money. And I've just named a few of the women here that have been trailblazers in this area. But we all know of successful women and men that have made huge differences with their own companies. And again, the spending, don't think about budget. Think about spending plan and spending consciously. I like to say it's about savvy, smart spending. And do you really need that other pair of shoes? It's your choice how you're spending your money. It's about gratitude and not lack. So that's the focus on creating that positive cash flow. And I spend a lot of time talking about that because that is such a huge area. If we don't have that money every single month to funnel into some money that we're going to put aside and grow, then it's hard to reach those money goals. You know, we do have those windfalls. Maybe you're planning on selling your company. That's fantastic. Maybe we have those great bonus years. But that steady money that's put aside every single month to grow, that positive cash flow, can really make a difference over time. Now, step four to grow your money is to put your money to work for you. It's to grow your money. And I love the picture of the forest with the trees and the path through it. And you can just see yourself walking down that path to your financial goals through that beautiful forest. And I have a 1% principle that I like to share with women, because we have to do so many things in our lives. And the 1% principle says the world of investing and finance is huge. I mean, I could go on and on about all the topics and just everything that's entailed in that. But just think about learning 1% so that you can oversee management of your money that you're setting aside to grow. And I'm not saying necessarily work with a financial advisor, and that's the next topic, but whether you're self-investing, you can do that with a simple system that you do yourself, or whether you hire someone. But either way, you need to learn the 1%, those 1%, those basics that you need to know to grow your money. So don't think about learning at all. Just think about learning enough to get by. And we do that in all areas of our lives as women, whether we're remodeling a house or educating a child or running a company. We don't know all the details. We know that top level that we're doing in running that company. And then the next step under growing your money is decide whether you want to self-manage or not. Don't let it be a default decision. Well, I didn't get around to really making a choice, so I'm just going to go with whoever or whatever. Decide, okay, do I want to manage my money myself by investing in some simple index funds, or do I want to hire a financial advisor? And what are the numbers behind this decision and the reasons behind this decision? Put some time and money numbers behind that decision. And then plan on monitoring and evaluating whatever you do. It's so easy once we hire a financial advisor to feel like we don't have to monitor and evaluate. Well, we don't do that in any area of our life. We would never do that if we were remodeling a home or building a home. We wouldn't hire someone and just say, build this house and never go look at it. We would be over there every single day looking at it. So commit to your money in the same way. Learn those simple, that little 1% that you need to know to monitor and evaluate the performance of any money that you have invested. And then one area that is so easy for investors and people to use, and index strategies are used by both professionals and by individual investors, that's a simple index strategy. And it's very simple to learn. It only takes a few hours a year. And so if you are looking to invest your own money, this may be an area that you want to learn a little bit more about, that's very cost efficient, and also it's very tax efficient. And the other areas that we've got under the grow your money, so think about investing in a simple index fund system if you are ready to invest yourself, or if you have some money that is set aside outside of active management. And then two, decide whether or not you want to hire someone or invest yourself. And then the third area under growing your money is to explore alternative investments. And if you're, as a business owner, you already know that there are entities that can have favorable tax benefits, they can lower your taxes, they can generate additional income through your own business. So that is something that you are already on top of. The other area that I like to say to explore as an alternative investment is the area of rental real estate that creates a favorable tax situation and can also create some additional income streams for you. So those are the three areas under growing your money. And I've talked a little bit already about alternative investments, and it's an area that you all know well as women who are running their own companies. And I love the picture of this. This just looks so peaceful when you know how to manage your money, whether or not you're doing it yourself or you're overseeing someone else doing it. You've taken a huge step towards your own financial security and being at peace with your money. Now, the fifth and last step that I want to talk about today is being aware of trends. I love this picture because you may not remember or have been around when the big hair and the shoulder pads were in style, but everyone had to have them. And will they be back is the question that I have. And so one of the most important things about growing your money, and one of the most common mistakes that investors make in growing their money, is buying high and selling low. And it's based on emotions instead of being based on things that make sense, that are numbers and that are based on a plan that you've decided outside of your emotions that you want to achieve or to follow. So some of the ways to avoid that common mistake that investors make, I want to talk about a few of those. And I'd like to relate this to home buying because it's an area that we're just so familiar with. It's so easy to get caught up in the real estate cycle that we saw just a few years ago when you couldn't, in many markets, you couldn't buy a house for the asking price. You had to go in and try to outbid the other people that were overbidding for the house. And so that's a perfect example of buying high and now selling low. Well, we're near the bottom of that cycle. or rural state is still inexpensive depending on what area of the country you're in. So I like to think about your money and encourage women to think about your money and your investments. It's the same way as real estate. Real estate is an asset class. It's no different than stocks or bonds. They move in cycles, and there are good times and bad times. So what you want to do is avoid buying at the top and selling at the bottom. Now, some ways to recognize tops are everyone is in love with that particular type of investment. Just like the people that were overbidding on the home, the asking price on the homes, everyone's in love with it. They've got to have that investment. You go to the cocktail party and everybody's talking about, I had to have this, you know, I bought this investment. Let me give you a hot tip. Another way that you can recognize overpriced securities or asset classes are that they've had several years of outperformance. They're overpriced. They've had several years of stellar performance. They've gone straight up. And so just like if you were buying anything, you wouldn't wait until the prices went up for several years and then you decided to buy it. You would want to search for a good price, a good value for what you're getting. So think about doing the same thing with your money. And then another way to spot market tops is the price is way out of the range of historical valuations. So really price, think of value more than thinking about price. So the value is way out of the range of historical valuations. There's some really simple, this ties back to that 1% you can learn. There's some simple tools to measure how any market is priced relative to historical prices. So get familiar with that and use that in your decisions about where you're putting your money. I like to say a picture paints a thousand words. So moving on to charts. Charts are a simple way to see what an asset class has done over the past several years. And it's really easy to see if something has had this incredible overpriced stellar performance. And then another thing that happens near market tops is you hear, this time is different. Excuse me. So could you use some help with your money? If so, I'd love to share some gifts with you at financialwoman.com. But before I do that, let me run back through the 5 steps that we've talked about today, because I know we've talked about a lot of different things. And remember, I want you to think about, what was that one thing that came up today that I can focus on right now that I know I need to, it's like it's calling us to focus on it. And how can I focus on that? What do I need to do? Write out the steps. Write out what it is you're going to do and assign some time frames and get moving in that one area where you need to focus next. So the 5 areas are: develop a healthy money mindset around your money. Know where you are. That's step 2. Step 3 is create positive cash flow. Step 4 is to grow your money or put that money to work for you. And step 5 is be aware of trends so you can keep that money that you've put aside to grow for you. And I'd love to share with you, I've created a series of videos on these 5 steps, and I like to create graphic designs. I've created a graphic money flow chart that I'd love to give you. It's absolutely free, along with the money video series that takes you through these 5 steps that we've talked about today. And that's over at financialwoman.com. And if you click on the join tab, we'll send you the videos, and I'll send them to you one step at a time, I promise, so you're not overwhelmed and you can see what makes sense for you, where you need to focus now. The other gift I would like to share with you is the first chapter of my book, which reached Amazon bestseller status back in November. It's called Earn, Grow, Give: Simple Steps to Grow Your Money While Creating a Rich Life. And I'd love to give you that first chapter as an instant download, and you can get that over at financialwoman.com also. And I would like to invite you to a free 20-minute strategy session with me. We can talk about that one area that you've identified where you need to focus next, and I can get you started in the right direction. Whether or not you choose to work with me, I'd love to help you in any way. There are a lot of tools over at Financial Woman that are absolutely free. As I mentioned earlier, my newsletter is delivered every single week with money tips that can help you. And I really appreciate your listening to the call today. And I welcome you to financialwoman.com. And I would love to help you in any way that I can. And I just thank you for your presence today. And I'll turn it back over to you, Anna Kate.
Sure. So I had one email question, and everyone on the line, please feel free to email me at akallay@wib.org if you would like to enter any questions. If not, please go to the discussion function at the bottom and enter your questions there. It looks like somebody has already entered something, but I'm going to go ahead and do my email question first. The first question was, Camille, can you give me a few examples of alternative funding that you spoke about in the beginning?
Yes, yeah. Alternative funding, I'm thinking that she's referring to for small business. And so typically for investment or for small businesses starting up, the first round of funding comes from family and friends. And just the thought of it seems kind of awkward, but it's something to think about. It's really important because once you go through that family and friend funding, it demonstrates to the next level of investors that your friends and your family have had confidence in what it is that you're doing. So if you can get a little bit of money through friends and family funding, it makes a big difference before you move up to that next level of investing. And then that next level of investing is angel investing, and there are a number of national networks that are online. I don't have any websites prepared right now to share with you. I want to say prosper.net, but it might be prosper.org. There are some, and what this is about is their online, like national sources for raising money. And then there are also local ways that you can raise money. A lot of cities, I know Austin has just a number of angel groups, but you can seek angel groups in your area and find out about how you can present and pitch to them to try to get funding for your business. And then, of course, the next level is venture capital, but that's normally, you know, when your company is, you've already proven, you've already done the other rounds of funding. So those are the three main areas of funding for business.
There's a question down here in the discussion box that says, how would you go about finding a financial planner that is right for your company? What would be the first step in your search?
Yeah, okay. Let's see. That's a good question. So for your company, I would look for probably a CFP, and that's a certified financial planner, and I would look for someone that specializes in small business. Another area where you might want to look is a CPA, just a certified public accountant that specializes in small business, because a typical financial planner is more about your overall personal finances and growing your finances. I'm sure there are financial planners that specialize in business, but the CFP designation is focused on individual personal finances. So if you could find someone that is a CFP but also has an area of expertise in small business, that area, and I'm sure there are some, that would be the area that I would recommend. I would recommend an independent planner, not someone that's trying to and this would be more for personal investing, that's not linked to having to promote certain products to you. And then what would be the first step in my search? I would probably Google it, and I would make a list of exactly what it is, what's the outcome you want from this person. You know, be really clear first with what it is that you know that you need. So these are my strengths. I've already got this area covered. These are the areas where I really need some help. And I would Google it. I would call whoever comes up. And I would go in and meet with, you know, 2-3 people for sure and be very clear about what it is that you need. I would ask for referrals definitely and talk to those referrals. So that those are the steps that I would take.
All right. Thank you. We have one more question that I just got from an email that says, if I'm not using a financial planner and I want to use an online tool to get my finances together, what would you suggest? I've heard of Mint.com, but is that something that would be good for me?
Yeah, it depends. Well, I would love to have you at financialwoman.com. And the main thing that we have there are courses, and there are also the weekly newsletter, and as I mentioned, the free videos and things. So definitely that is a first step. Mint.com is a very well-known and well-liked step. Without knowing exactly what it is that you're looking for, it's probably going to be difficult. I mean, there are so many different sites that it's hard to, you know, to direct you or send you in one direction or another. If there's something more specific that you're looking for, then feel free to shoot me an email, Camille@financialwoman.com, and I'll be glad to get back with you. And that's about any questions that you have. And then there was one more thing I wanted to say. Let's see, about the financial planner, backtracking just a bit. There are a number of free government organizations that might be able to help you in that area as well. And so if you want to send me an email, I would be glad to answer that and in more detail. So any other questions?
I think that's all that we had come in today. But if anybody does have any more questions, please feel free to email me or Camille, and I can pass them along to her. I'm sure she would be happy to answer any of your questions. And let's see. Thanks again, Camille, for the outstanding presentation, and thank you, everyone on the line, for joining us today. Please send any additional questions to me, and I can pass them along. Please take a moment to share your thoughts on a brief feedback survey that will accompany the presentation links via email. The presentation will also be posted on www.womenaccessingcapital.com under the Resources tab. Women Money Opportunity is a larger program series, part of WIP, which brings you a wide range of resources to educate women business owners. Please check out our program websites for upcoming webinars. WIP is a nonprofit, nonpartisan public policy organization representing your interests in Washington, D.C. Thanks again, Camille, for the presentation, and thank you, everybody, today for joining us.
Thank you, Anna Kate, for having me.